We have two scriptures in the bulletin this morning, and as with like it was last Sunday, the Old Testament scripture is actually embedded in the New Testament scripture, so we're only going to be reading Acts 2, 22 to 39. Men of Israel, listen to this.
Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him.
David said this about him.
I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence.
Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said,
"The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ."
When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles,
"Brothers, what shall we do?"
Peter replied,
"Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the promises for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call."
Lord, we pray that you will give Paul clarity and wisdom as he brings the message today. For ourselves, we pray that our hearts will be open to greater understanding. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, isn't it great to hear different voices? It's great to hear the voice of this baby grand piano. Judy guiding the voice and us. It's great to hear Lynn bring us through some old hymns that I've forgotten. It's great to hear Steve and Janelle give the scripture a little zing, right? Today is Whit Sunday. Pentecost. Whit Sunday is synonymous with Pentecost. Our culture has forgotten these things. I meditate in the mornings, and I sometimes put on spiritual music. And today I put on the radio, and they were doing sacred music because it's Pentecost. And the announcer actually preached a sermon. Shock of shocks. And he reminded me that Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach, prolific writer, wrote literally dozens and dozens of sonatas. Do you know the majority of those sonatas were written for one reason and performed for one reason? Pentecost. I had no clue. I didn't even know Johann was a Christian. But here we go. Surprises happen. We're going to have some surprises today. We're going to review the scripture that Steve and Janelle read in a new way, with new voices. Remember last week, we read the first part of Acts 2. And in Acts 2, right then, was a wonder. Remember what it was? Read it again sometime. Check it out. The wonder was a wind from heaven. So the back door blew open, and the front door absolutely crashed wide, and a wind came in. Verified, by the way, by 120 witnesses, if you're into scientific statistics. Then, these Galileans, these uneducated country bumpkins who were in Jerusalem, began to sense a spirit. It was a red spirit. It was a fire that was burning, and the fire divided in the middle of the room and sat upon each of their heads, the red of fire. A cleansing baptism. And in that baptism, 12 disciples became 12 apostles. From students, remember, disciple is a student. From students transformed through this event to apostles, Greek for messengers. And they did so. Today, based on what happened at Pentecost, this is the birthday of the church. The church we go to. No, not the Catholic Church, not the Episcopal Church, not even heresy, Mennonite Church USA. The Pentecost is the birth of the Church of Jesus the Christ. That's what we're celebrating. Not much celebration across the country. Whit Sunday was celebrated, by the way, historically for 3 days. So you took, just like Easter, Saturday off, Sunday off, and Monday off, and you meditated, and dare I use the word, you repented. Lost in culture. Well, let's look a bit more at this. Today we're going to use another symbol, the symbol that Steve and Janelle pointed us to, the pouring of water. But first, let's go back to Pentecost. Literally, Pentecost is defined in Greek as the Feast of Weeks. It's been 7 weeks since Easter. You've been counting? It's been 7 weeks. And Pentecost was a feast. The early Christians, it was a party, man, because stuff was happening. For 7 weeks, they partied. And they partied because Pentecost is the completed prophecy of the coming of the Holy Trinity. Last week, we talked about the Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's called the triune God for some of our theologians. Triune is three in one. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that, other than today is the story of how Jesus kept his promise. Now, in the Old Testament that Steve and Janelle read, God kept his promise. He delivered from the lineage of David the Messiah. Today, Jesus kept his promise. We're going to talk about the fact that Jesus, while he was living, made some prophecies. And one of the prophecies was, I'm going to be out of here, guys. I'm going to die, and it's not going to be too good. I've been with you 3 years. I've enjoyed y'all, but I'm leaving because my Father is calling me to do some work. And the disciples went, yeah, go on, another one of these story. It's a parable, right, Jesus? A parable. And he said, no, I will leave you. But when I leave, I will bring the Holy Spirit. He called it the Counselor or the Peace. The peace of Christ will descend. Jesus didn't lie.
I kind of like that part. And so Pentecost really started with a gardener God. Remember that part? Remember Easter? Remember Mary Magdalene, the first apostle? Remember she raced to the tomb where Jesus was buried? And a gardener says, Mary, what are you looking for? A gardener. Remember the Garden of Eden? It starts with the Garden of Eden. Well, here we meet the gardener. And the gardener says, he is not here. We begin to see in Pentecost the mystical binding of God, of Christ, and of this wind, this water, and this red fire, the Holy Spirit. The link here is between the physical Jesus who did historically walk the earth and the Spirit of Christ, which descended on Pentecost. This is an experience different from conversion. Y'all, if any of you have been converted, don't think Pentecost is like that. It's different. And it's different because we inherit a Spirit-filled, empowered life from the movement of this Spirit. Let's remember for a moment, who's talking in Acts 2? Some people call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit. That's what the book was called by early followers. But who's talking here? Stephen Janelle read it. It's Peter. Remember Peter? Remember that broken guy? That fumbling fisherman? That impulsive guy? That guy who denied Jesus 3 times to save his own skin? That Peter is talking to us.
Before we look at that, let's do a science, well, it's not a science experiment, but let's try this one on. This is a scientific illustration. You know, people say, if you're a scientist, you can't believe in God. Because if you're a scientist, you're logical, right? And God's illogical, right? I happen to be a scientist. I love experiments and illustrations. And I'm also a believer. So I'm going to try this one on. It's about water. But it could be really about anything related to the spiritual pouring. So, this illustration today uses the scientific principle of volume. Remember that? Hadley, did you? Yeah, physical science, volume. Anybody know what volume is? Anne does. What's volume?
I can't say what it is. It's the amount.
Yes. Yes. Good. It's an amount. It's a measure. Let me be precise here. The scientist drives me to explain. Volume is Latin for volumen. Literally defined as the amount. You must have looked this up before the sermon. The amount or mass of a substance occupying a particular space. Okay? Or it could be the amount of space occupied by a three-dimensional object, measured in inches or quarts. This happens to be a quart jar.
Verse 33 that Stephen Janelle read us says, and I read from the Peshitta here. This is the Aramaic version. This is from the language Jesus spoke while he walked the earth. It says, "He has poured forth his Holy Spirit, which you see and hear." So I'm going to pretend for a minute that this is the Holy Spirit. Okay? Not scientific. And by the way, if you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, let's just watch what happens in this illustration, okay? So here's a quart measure. This, by the way, I measured not so carefully, and it's about 2 quarts. So let's check these 3 vessels as they're filled by a mass. This happens to be a liquid mass, right? I really should have a white coat on, shouldn't I? All right. So, for the sake of argument, let's say this pitcher is you. This is a vessel. It holds mass. By the way, a scientist understand that 89% of you is water. Did you realize that? So here's you. This isn't very well filled up, is it? Sometimes we're a little empty. But thankfully, we were born with volume to sustain us. A lot of people I know, oh, good, I've got a fly in here. Okay. Many of the people I know are about this full. Their volume, it's sustaining, but when I talk to them, you know, a little bit about the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual worlds, and kind of how we all live in those simultaneously, they kind of go, I'm just fine. I'm good. But some people I know, you included, talk about a Trinity God, one that fills them up, a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. They're full. And for the sake of illustration, as Peter was explaining, he said that the Spirit was poured out for us. You people, when I talk to you, you inspire me because as I talk, you spill over. You're not empty. You're not even half full. You've got something to say, and you do things. And this little band of believers continues to do that. And I'm thankful. So what just happened? Well, that's what the crowd asked. After the Holy Spirit fire, caught these 120 people and the apostles, caught them. And so the onlookers, apparently, there's quite a ruckus in this place where they are meeting because a crowd assembled outside. And they asked Peter, what just happened? What just spilled out of this house or this meeting place? Peter said, we were anointed by the Holy Spirit. Listen to the passage that Janelle and Steve read to us again. Peter says, this Jesus that you all know, by the way, who was outside? Can you guess? It was the learned scribes. It was the smarty pants Pharisees. It was all the religious elite who had put Jesus to death by way of negotiating with the Romans. That's who's talking to them. And Peter's looking right back at him, and he says, back at you. He says, Jesus was accredited by God. That's a big word, so I had to look it up. Accredited means the process of certification, a granting of approval by authority. That's the scripture that they read. Jesus was approved by God. And then Peter does a funny thing for an illiterate fisherman. He recites the psalm, which happens to be contained in the Torah, which happens to be privileged information that only the scribes and the Pharisees have really read. Peter reads it to them, word for word. In fact, this account says he recites it. And he says, Jesus was accredited by a higher power. And by the way, he didn't need the approval of mankind to be sacrificed for the brutal sins of the world, to be resurrected as Lord, and he didn't need approval from us to be transformed into the Prince of Peace and ascended. He did, however, do it to bring the peace of the kingdom of heaven right here. And he explained the kingdom of heaven. Remember the Beatitudes? Remember the Beatitudes that Don taught us last fall? Here's one. The poor in spirit are the richest in the kingdom of heaven. That's one beatitude. And the peacemakers are the first ones blessed in the kingdom of heaven. That's another beatitude. You see, God didn't need our permission to pour out the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins and for light in times of darkness. So, Peter's saying to the folks, by the way, there's 3,000 of them outside listening in. He says, we need to get out of the rut we're in, folks. Take a look around. We are now living in the presence of God. And he said, we know this because Jesus performed miracles, wonders, and signs. And the final wonder happens to be Pentecost. This prophecy, this Psalm 16 prophecy, it was David speaking, actually says, we're not going to be abandoned, fulfilled at Pentecost. It says, the Holy One makes known the paths of life, fulfilled at Pentecost. And God's presence is the only thing that's going to give us joy. The only thing that's going to give us joy. Fulfilled at Pentecost. Then, Peter uses some words. I want us to be clear about the words that he's using. Peter called us to repent. I know, you're thinking, Johnson, don't go fundamental on us. It's that guy down on Tejon waving the sign that says repent. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Repent means to be sincerely sorry for sin. And by the way, cease practicing moral evil. That's what Merriam-Webster says. Cease practicing moral evil. And say sorry. Didn't your mom tell you that? Just say sorry. But that's not enough, because there's another piece to this. When we repent, Peter reminds us, the second part is that we must love. Jesus reminded us of that. And when we love, we're transformed. We're better. We're better than what we were before. We love our enemies. We do good to others when they do evil to us. And by the way, when we do that, we might just bump into Jesus. And we might not just bump into Jesus, we might even follow Jesus. Peter calls him the Christ. The Christ, or Christos, is Greek for the anointed one. And then Peter calls him the Messiah. The Messiah in Hebrew means the anointed one. He's repeating himself in several languages so that people catch it. That's what Pentecost is about. A new language, a new way for us to understand a God beyond understanding. So, here we are in worship today. We're talking about a Trinity God, a God that enables us to overflow, and a Holy Spirit that's pointed out, poured out for us. You came here for a reason today, didn't you? Joyful worship anoints us, literally pours out the Spirit on us. When you came to worship today, you were called. I don't know if the phone rang. I don't know if you heard a little voice. But you were called by a Christ to be in worship. And you were called to go out changed after your worship. You were called to go out and do good. And not just do good because we love justice, we do. And we love peace, we do. But we do good to honor the one we follow, the three in one. That happens when the Spirit is right. We get blessed. You get blessed. Peter says, receive the Spirit gift of unconditional love. Acts 2 says their numbers grew from that little group of 120 inside to 3,000. Those people that came to ridicule them asked to be baptized. And then they went out. And the scripture after that, about two verses after that, says, their acts of love found favor with all the people, baptized or not. Wouldn't that be great if you had your little legacy? When you left this place and your legacy was, all the people found favor with you. Believers, non-believers. Muslims, Jews, Christians. They all found favor with you. That'd be a good thing. So let's try and simplify these miracles that we read about, these wonders, these signs. There's four of them. There's four miracles that were listed in our readings today. Acts 2 says, God made this Jesus. God made this Jesus. And you crucified him. Now that's ancient history, isn't it? No. I don't think so. I don't think so. In fact, I might propose to you that you and I crucify Jesus on a daily basis. Don't you deny him sometimes? Come on. Don't you doubt him? Don't you curse him? I worked on a construction crew in college. We were building foundations. They cursed their God. Crucified him. Don't we doubt and hurt his children in violent thoughts and deeds every single day? Don't we? I do. I need to get better. Second, the second miracle is that this human Jesus is transformed into a holy one, the anointed one, the Messiah Christ. So after Pentecost, we go from Jesus to Christ. Different meaning, different event. Third, the people with eyes to see and ears to hear showed changed, softened hearts. Those 3,000 that left, Jerusalem was flooded with them. And the end of Acts 2 says, all the people in Jerusalem found favor with them. They broke bread with everyone they met, and all found favor with them. Fourth, the Holy Spirit promise is a gift that's given to you right now for the people you touch in your daily life. It doesn't matter what you do or where you are. You touch people. Have you bumped into Jesus lately? Try it. Changed hearts. Let's close today. I kind of got to go back and forth here. I kind of enjoy going up and down. You know, a little hyperactive here. So you have been promised and you've been called. You, if you accept the message, Peter says repent. And repent means you just realize, I got old, tired ways, and I'm kind of sick up and fed with my life, and I'm going to change it. I hear a life-giving call. I'm tired of being bored. I'm tired of doing the same old stuff. And finally, I'm not going to wait. Time is short. Right? The fields are plentiful and the workers are few. Isn't that true? There's a harvest out there and nobody cares. Let's close. I'll ask you one question. Have you been anointed by the Holy Spirit? It's a personal question. It's not a trick question. And you don't have to answer out loud. But if the answer is yes,